And now you're going to read from Psalm 139, and you'll find that on pages 628 and 629 of the Pew Bible. So Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God! Away from me, you bloodthirsty men! They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Let's just take another wee moment just to pray. Father, as we come to your word, just still our hearts to hear you speak. Block out everything else, Father, and close us in with yourself. May your Holy Spirit reveal those things, Father, that each one of us need to hear and to act on. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last few years, I've been on a journey learning more and more about the heart, the physical heart, that is. It all began some years back when my aunt collapsed and ended up in the RVH hospital. And we discovered that she had an irregular heartbeat. So she was put on medication and sent home. Then a few months later, it developed a bit further and she had a car crash and ended up back in the Royal Victoria Hospital where she had a pacemaker put in. And that went okay. She went fine. We had another few months. And then we ended up back in the RVH, A&E, when fluid had built up all over her body, at least from her waist down. And on that night, when they connected her up to the machines, the machines started flashing, alarms were going off, staff were running in and out, and Eleanor was sitting very calmly on the bed. A nurse was trying to get her pulse. He tried the machine, couldn't get it. He was trying to do it manually, taking it. And she still just sat and looked around her. And he said, is your heart racing? No. Do you have any pain? No. Are you sure? Yes. And still these machines are flashing and doctors are coming in and looking at the machine and asking questions, and Eleanor calmly sat through it all until I stepped out and spoke to one of the doctors, who said, she's on the verge of a major heart attack. If we don't get her heart rate down soon, she will be dead. And I went back in and I said, are you sure you're okay? Yes. You see, even though her heart was really not good that night, and her health was not good, she didn't know. She was totally oblivious to what was going on. Some weeks ago, we were back in hospital, this time up in the Lagan Valley. And I went with her as she went for a heart scan. And the radiographer took us into a small room, and he got Eleanor up in the bed, and she connected all the different electrodes to her heart and to her wrists and to the bottoms of her leg. She sat in front of a small screen and she started the scan. And she started the left-hand side of the heart. She worked at it, and then she went up over the top of the heart. Then she went down over the right-hand side of the heart, and then she went under the bottom of the heart. And I sat watching this, totally fascinated, dying to ask questions, but knowing this girl was doing some major work and I needed to keep my mouth shut for a change. And I could see, even from my limited knowledge, that things were not right. I could see that one of the valves was opening okay, but that one of them wasn't, that it was barely opening. Radiographer completed her job. She took the pictures that she needed to take. She gave the report to the consultant, and a few days later we met with the consultant to see what course of action they would take. But as they were doing the scan, I started to wonder about my own heart. Was it okay? Should I be doing more things to look after it? So tonight I want us to think about our hearts, and I say that in the plural. And I want to ask you, how is your heart tonight? Not just your physical heart, but more importantly, how is your spiritual heart tonight? If God applied the same test that the radiographer did, if he slowly started at one side of your heart and worked over to the other side of it and up and down, what would he see? What would you see? And is it possible that maybe, like Eleanor when she was in A&E, you don't even realize that you've got a problem with your heart? And so to add into that, I want to tell you that I've got some good news for you and I've got some bad news for you. The good news for you is that God has already scanned your heart and my heart. But some of us might be thinking, well, actually, Eleanor, that's not really good news, because I know my heart. I know what I'm like. People around me here or my family, they just see the outside of me, the bit that I present. But you're talking about God actually seeing and knowing my inner part. And if people and my family and my friends really saw that, maybe they would be horrified. If I really knew the extent of my heart, maybe I would be horrified. The probe into Eleanor's heart went deeper than the doctors doing tests outside of her. They discovered more about her heart that day than we already knew. And they discovered that things were different from the last time she had had a scan. When God looks at our hearts, examines our hearts, he sees us at our deepest levels. And he reveals things that maybe we hadn't even thought about. But the really good news is that his joy and his delight to make our hearts new. It's his joy and his delight to change our hearts. And to change us that he can say about us what he said about David, that we are men and women after God's own heart. And that's my desire for myself, and that's my desire for you, that we would be men and women who are totally surrendered to God, whose hearts are open to him, who are ready to allow him to examine us. The opening verse here in Psalm 139, if you turn with me to it, says, "You have searched me." It's written in the past tense. God has already searched you and me. And the psalmist says that he has searched us. He says, "You know me. I am created by God. You are created by God. I am woven together. You have been woven together by God." He knew me when my body was unformed. He knew you when your body was unformed. And all the days of the length of your life and my life are known by God. There is no aspect of your life or my life that God does not know. And that applies whether tonight you're a believer or not a believer. He knows us all. He created us all. And the psalmist also reminds us that not only did he create you and I, but he knows our every thought. He says, "You perceive my thoughts." He knows our every word that we speak. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it. He knows all of our deeds. He says, "When I rise and when I sit, my going out and my lying down." Every moment of your life and mine, God has known about and God does know about. There is nothing in our lives that is hidden from him. Previously in Scripture, it is said in Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. I, the Lord, search. In Chronicles, it's written, "The Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts." And in Proverbs, it's written, "The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being." God has a scanner. And his scanner is the Holy Spirit that searches out our hearts. But note verse 23 of the psalm. It says, "Search me." The psalmist invites God to examine his heart. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me." In other words, he says, "Lord, if there's anything that you find, if there's something in my heart and I'm not aware of it, please show me. I want to deal with it. I want to turn away from, Lord, from anything that's in my heart that leads me away from you, that stops me from having a clean heart. Lord, examine me. In Proverbs 4 and 23, we're told that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And in Philippians, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So to guard our hearts is vitally important for our walk with God. As Proverbs 4 points out, that everything flows from it. If we know that God has searched us, and that there's also a necessity for us to ask him to search us, what do we do to keep our hearts healthy? What do we do to guard our hearts? There's three things that we need to do to take care of our physical heart. We need rest, we need food, and we need exercise. And our spiritual hearts need all three as well. Rest. To have a healthy heart, we need to rest in God. That's why God gave us the Sabbath. 6 days did he work, and then on the seventh, he rested. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book Sacred Rhythms, has written a chapter on the Sabbath. And in the book is a quote from Wayne Muller. And this is what he says. If we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. If we don't slow down and spend time with God and rest in him, God will find a way to slow us down to rest with him. Here's what Isaiah says about rest. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. And in Luke 5 and verse 16, it simply says this: Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. For some of us, we might be panicking about this day. For you, a Sunday or a Sabbath may be a really busy day. It's a day of family coming for lunch. It's a day of going to family for lunch. It's a day when lots of things are going on. It's not a guilt trip for any of us. It's to get us to think, to examine our hearts about how we are spending our Sabbath. God has always known that you and I needed to rest from all that's going on in our lives. We need to take time to be still and to rest in him. Your place to do that may be very different from mine. It may be in your house. It may be in your car. It might be going for a walk. It might be locking yourself in the bathroom. It might be getting up early in the morning. It might be staying up later at night. Whatever works for you. But the most important thing is this. If God knew that he needed to stop and to rest, and Jesus knew that he needed time to be still, to rest, and to spend time with his Father, then surely it's vitally important for you and I to do that. The world that we live in pushes us to keep going 24/7. It pushes us to have our phones on 24/7. It pushes us to have our computers on 24/7. We need to stop and to be still and to rest in God. At Christmas time, I'd gone up the town, and I'd walked out of the house, and for the first time in a long time, I'd walked out without my phone. And I get into the car, and to be honest, I started to panic, because I normally don't go anywhere without it. It's a phone for the church. It's also a phone for the family if anything's wrong. And normally I would go back and I would get the phone and take it with me. And I had to really challenge myself about what was I doing. Was I not prepared to switch off from everything and actually go and sit still somewhere and rest? Could the calls not wait for 5, 10 minutes even? Was I so important that I had to be contactable by everyone? I'm having to learn to turn off my phone. I'm having to learn to stick it in another room when I'm having a quiet time. That the texts that come through when WhatsApp pings all the time and other text messages will be okay to answer in half an hour or an hour. It's more important that I'm still with God, that I take time with Him. Don't allow the world to keep pushing us into a 24/7 rush. And if rest is important, then food is also important. To have a healthy heart, there are foods that we have to put in and there are foods that we have to cut out. And you'll be delighted with this one. I recently had a 24-hour heart trace done. And the results just come back to the doctors this week. That's not true. She had them weeks ago. I just didn't go, because I just thought, well, she hasn't phoned, so I'm okay. But I ended up getting a call this week to go back and see her. And there were certain things had shown up on it. And so she started with a question that I knew I was going to dread. Do you drink much coffee? I know. And I felt like sort of saying, is my middle name Costa? But I knew that something I had been putting into my body is affecting my heart. I've been told I need to cut back and to start thinking about what I'm feeding myself with. And when we apply those over into our spiritual world, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then from Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my word. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a whole man's body. Above else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. God's word is the food that we need to be pouring into us and putting into us each and every day. Now, I love to read. I would spend hours reading. And the vast majority of stuff that I read is Christian books, but I need to be careful that I don't get caught up in reading books about the Bible and not reading the Bible itself. I need to be careful that my learning isn't just from the midweek, or from a Sunday. But that I am taking the time to spend time in the Scriptures by myself, alone with the Holy Spirit, opening up what God is saying through His Word. Yes, I use study books to help me look at different books or topics in the Bible, but I also search the Scriptures for myself. I need to take time, we need to take time to listen to what God is telling us through them. We need to feed ourselves through His Word and through prayer, talking to God and listening to Him. And I and you can only do that when we actually take time to be in His presence, when we actually give Him our full attention. I know now there are things that I need to cut out of my life. Just like coffee is poisoning my system, there are things that we need to cut out on, or maybe there are things that we need to cut out or cut back on in our lives, and replace that with God's Word. Because these other things that you and I may be caught up in are killing our spiritual hearts, are drawing us away from God. And we need to either cut back on them or stop them. And the last one is exercise. So how do we exercise our spiritual hearts? We exercise our spiritual hearts by living out what God has been teaching us. The first muscle that we need to put into action is the one of repentance. If God is going to search our hearts, and if we're going to ask Him to search our hearts, then He is going to reveal things that we need to deal with. Things that we may need to ask forgiveness for. Or maybe people that we need to go to ask forgiveness from. As God begins to show us those things, there may be a change that we need to make in our lives. And as things become to the surface, there are changes and things that we will need to deal with before God. But there's also the likelihood that we'll see things that we have been doing or not doing that have affected other people. And that's why I say we need to go and ask for forgiveness from others. There may be things that come up that will require us to let go, because the other person is not maybe there to go to speak to. None of this is easy when God starts to clean our hearts. But if we want to have clean hearts, then we need to work at it. We need to rest. We need to have food. And we need to have exercise. And so how do we know when our heart is becoming healthy? We know because we'll really start to care about the things that God cares about. About injustice. About the hungry. About the poor. About sharing the gospel. Wouldn't it be amazing if God could say about you and could say about me, he or she is a man or a woman after my own heart? Someday our physical hearts are going to stop. The one who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will die. Those of us who do know Him as Lord and Savior are going to live forever. And not only will we live forever, but we will be more alive than we've ever been. So the question tonight is, how is your heart? How is your heart tonight? And as the psalmist wrote, search me, Lord. Search me and know my heart. Let's pray together. Father, would you still each one of us tonight?